Good morning. This is Focus 580 with your guest host, David Teal. One of the most talked about television series in recent years has been the home decorating show, Trading Spaces, which airs on cable's Learning Channel. The premise of the show is simple. Two sets of neighbors, assisted by professional designers, spend 2 days and $1,000 redecorating one room in each other's homes. The climax of each episode is known as the reveal, and that's the moment in which the homeowners discover whether their new room is a dream or a dud. Adding to the drama is a recurring cast of designers known for their strong personalities and signature decorating styles. Our guests during this hour of Focus 580 are two of the best-known designers from Trading Spaces. Doug Wilson's roots are right here in central Illinois, Broadlands to be precise. He's gone from farm boy to the show's resident bad boy, known for bold designs, leather pants, and frequent clashes with homeowners. Hilde Santo Tomas is the Trading Spaces fashionista, and she has a glamorous wardrobe and an international flair to her creations. Yet she's also responsible for some of the show's most infamous rooms, including a wine-themed kitchen for a teetotaling pastor and a living room wall covered with straw. The tour in town is special celebrity guests of the 4th annual Fetching Ball, a dinner and auction to support the Champaign County Humane Society. They'll also be signing autographs in the Skyway Room at the Hawthorne Suites in Champaign this afternoon from noon to 1:30. Photos for that event are available at for $10, and all proceeds benefit the Humane Society. For the next hour, we'll be talking about their careers, both pre- and post-Trading Spaces, as well as their home decorating insights. You're welcome to call in with your questions and comments. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455-333-WILL. Outside the area, anywhere in the U.S., use our toll-free line, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-WILL. And good morning, Doug and Hilde. Welcome to Focus 580.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good to see you. You're running a busy schedule this morning.
We're on the press junket here. It's been a busy few days.
We're here with a mission.
That's right. Raise lots of money.
Exactly. Now, right. You've been in town several days now?
We arrived Wednesday night, I think.
Wednesday night, yeah.
Okay. And you're here, of course, for the Champaign County Humane Society event,
yes.
But you're also here for another event as well.
Yeah, my nephew's Tyler Wilson cancer fun. So we're going to have a benefit for him tomorrow in St. Joseph, Illinois, at the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. We're going to have a good old traditional soup and chili supper, 4:30 to 8.
Are you looking for a salad, Doug?
I am. I soup and salad. I'm a little hungry. It's getting close to lunch. It's my nephew, and he was diagnosed with cancer about, I guess, a year and a half ago, 2 years. And he's four, young little lad, and, needs some support right now, the family.
Sure. And, of course, you're here for the Champaign County Humane Society, and I understand you are both dog owners, dog lovers.
Yes, my heart belongs to my Pluto, my dog, and I know there's so many homeless dogs that need adoption, so we're trying to raise money to find these dogs' homes and get some,
Right. And with the ever-expanding program at the Champaign County Humane Society, their means are growing, and, they need new, bigger facilities constantly, and would love to, in the next couple of years, build a new shelter. So, we need to try to keep the funds going for that and keep the program going.
And that's important. We all know we couldn't live without our pets.
Well, absolutely. I'm a cat person myself. We have three. So, and they're all from the Champaign County Humane Society.
Oh, good for you. So we're all on the same team, right?
That's right. That's right.
I adopted my dog in New York from the ASPCA out there. So he was a little shelter dog in New York.
Well, my dog was a gift. Now, that's a good idea. You could adopt a pet and give it to someone as a gift for Christmas.
I think that's been done a lot.
Yeah, you know how creative I am? I can create just about any idea or any scenario you'd like.
You are creative.
That was my latest creation.
This was,
adopt a pet and give them to your child for Christmas.
Now, this is your third year with the Fetching Ball?
Third year, yeah. The first year I did it sort of remotely. I was involved and donated some lamps and things from inspired from Trading Spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I was host, I guess EMC. I'm not quite sure what that title really was, but took a major role in the fundraiser.
This year I'm your donation.
And Hilde is I adopted Hilde for this. She was in a shelter in Paris, France, and I brought her over. She's an import.
I see. Yes. Well, that's great. We're certainly glad to have you and glad to have you here in the studio. So I wanted to talk first, I guess, to Doug. You're on the home team here. You grew up in this area.
Yeah, I mean, I consider Champaign, Urbana, you know, my hometown, the whole community, originally from Broadlands, that's the address. But, you know, the whole area is my hometown. When they say, where are you from? People really have never heard of, you know, Broadlands out in the masses. But, you know, with the university exposure, people know Champaign-Urbana. So generally, you know, just south of Champaign-Urbana.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you went to school here, too.
Yeah, I attended here. I was an Acacia. I was a voice major for a while and went into theater. So
sing something for us, Doug.
No.
Just do a, you know, a thing. Yeah,
well, no, you do that.
No, I can't sing. Only in the shower.
Well, now you, I was going to say, you know, you started out with this background in theater and such, and somehow yet became an interior designer and a big television star. So what was that path like?
What's that all about?
Well, I think, you know, when I grew up on a farm, farm's been in the family for, you know, over 100 years, I guess, at this point. Can't remember the exact number. I'm sure my parents will fill me in on that later. And, you know, on the farm, you know, you do things on your own. In the city, I learned that whenever you needed something done, you call the super to change a light bulb. Well, you know, you don't have supers on the farm. You are the super, superintendent of the buildings and everything else. So, you know, at a young age, we were constantly working with our hands. And I don't know, as I got older, I got involved in music and theater. So I got involved in building sets and painting sets. So the artistic side came more into the forefront. And then when I was about 16, I was working at the Sunshine Dinner Playhouse doing sets. And in my off time there in the summer, I started working for a silkscreen lithographer, graphic artist by the name of Orrin Johnson here in town. So I started to learn silkscreen lithography, color saturation, color mixing, and graphic art, as well as interior design. So he was sort of a jack of all trades. And that's where I think I really picked up on the interior design and artistic side of me. I know when I was a kid, unfortunately, the funding for the art programs in public schools was just stripped out. So I look back at things that I did in like maybe the fifth and sixth grade before, you know, those were ripped away, the funds were ripped away. And I was like, well, you know, I was an artist there. But it just really wasn't brought out. And I think it's unfortunate that there's a lot of kids out there, that are not able to express that, and we don't see that there are young artists out there where there's, you know, now just pushed into more the academics of, you know, mm-hmm. Lawyer, you know, so on and so forth, doctors. But, you know, the arts are a valuable asset to the community and the culture and the fabric of our nation. And that's something that Trading Spaces is able to bring out to children. We have such a huge young child following. And these kids are writing to us, you know, Hildy and myself, and saying, you know what, we want to be designers. we did this art project, and we're able to show them art projects that they were not exposed to because it's not available to them in the public schools as much as it used to be.
Well, and it's branching out so much that's why we've come out with our family version of our show that airs on Sunday nights, and a few other kid programs that just go boys versus girls.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of design, the same Trading Spaces show, but out there for children now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, you know, that's who we are influencing young. I did not go to design school. I actually, you know, as a child, it's my gift.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Creativity and it's a gift that, you know, God-given gifts. It's not always studied. And there's children out there that, as Doug says, that we're hopefully influencing.
I think, you know, that's interesting you bring up because, you know, I myself was not officially trained, schooled in interior design. And when I was back a couple of weeks ago, I did working with the industrial design students here at the university. And the article, the television interview was saying, well, you know, Doug, you know, doesn't have a formal background. Do you think he should be here talking? And it's sort of interesting that they would raise that and question that, because life experience you know, plays such a valuable role.
Common sense.
Common sense. And some people, you have it innately in you right. sometimes. And, you know, I was able to work with some of the great designers, you know, in New York. Albert Hadley of the esteemed firm Parrish Hadley, I worked very closely with. Now, you know, they, for those of you who don't know who they are, that's, they did the Kennedy's White House in the 60s. And I was fortunate enough to work very closely with him on the restoration of the Brooke Astor Library in New York that I restored. So, you know, when you rub elbows with these sorts of people, you really, you learn so much more than you'd ever.
Well, you're working with the masters.
Yeah, you're working with people who have proven themselves again and again. So I've been very lucky in that regard.
Well, I want to quickly reintroduce our guests for the benefit of the listeners. In this hour of Focus 580, they are Hildy Santo Tomas and Doug Wilson, interior designers for the popular cable television series Trading Spaces. The number to call with your questions and comments is 333-9455. And anywhere else outside the Champaign-Urbana area in the U.S., you can use our toll-free line. That's 800-222-9455. And Hildy, you had a background that doesn't necessarily seem to lead to interior design either. You were a stockbroker, you were a financial planner, and a political campaign manager at various times.
I've done a lot of things, yes. But everything I've done, I've kind of done on my own because I've wanted to do it. So, but as I said before, my gift is my creativity, and that's what I'm just using now. The financial planning and that part of my life, I'm also very mathematically inclined. I love numbers and I love business, starting businesses and things. So that's where that came from. But, you know, the art just, it's always been there. I just didn't study it because I thought it was just, you know, something I've always done, I've always had. So I didn't pursue that avenue, but I came back to it. Sure enough, it starts there, it'll end there.
Now, you you live in Paris now.
Yes.
You had been, I guess you had a practice in Atlanta for a while, and then
yes. Wow, you've done your homework.
I do.
I still have a business in Atlanta. I still frequent there always when I come through to do shows. I do live in Paris. I come to the United States to do my shows. I usually clump them together and do several in a row, and I always go through Atlanta, so I still check in on my business, and then pretty much I do Trading Spaces.
And I mean, you have traveled a lot, and I know that you like to incorporate some aspects of your travel into your design work. What do you what do you look for?
Traveling is definitely my hobby. That and my dog. So I have traveled all around the world, been around twice, and I'm always just looking at, inspired by, keep an eye open, photographing all my surroundings, whether it's the people, the foods, the architecture, the plants, the animals, whatever's around me, I'm just aware and I appreciate, whether it's, you know, the same tree and the four different seasons, whatever it is. And, you know, I think as an artist, and I can probably speak for Doug as well, we are inspired by everything around it. And it's not that we see something and go, oh, that's what I'm going to do next. It's, you know, in appreciation, you develop something to be what you want it to be. Even if you're in India and you're having dinner and there's all these fruits and vegetables, just the colors of that, the organic nature of nature put together, those can be your color palette for perhaps your next room or for what you're going to wear tomorrow night, whatever it is.
Just being aware.
Right. You know? Just open your eyes and look around you, whether you're traveling, whether you're sitting at home, whether you're looking out the window, if there's a red bird, there's a blue bird, you know, whatever it is, it's you know, it's around you, and I let it affect me. Yeah. Did you say it feeds you?
Yeah.
Right. No, definitely. I don't know that a lot of people are like that or have that level of appreciation.
I think we all have the ability to.
Yes.
If nobody's ever said to you, you know, why don't you, you know, just for one day, just absorb what is around you instead of walking by and just passing through. Just, you know, smell the roses.
Stop.
You know? Stop.
Just stop.
Be aware. You know, and enjoy.
And then we, of course, are lucky that we have this challenge of creating a room. 30 times a season.
Yeah, at this point, we're doing a lot of shows.
And, you know, every room is a blank canvas, and if I have an idea or Doug has an idea, we can implement it. And it's not so much implemented so that you at home will do the same thing. Like, I don't expect anyone to put flowers on their master bathroom walls or, you know, cardboard all over their guest room or whatever it is that the crazy ideas we're coming up with. But they're our ideas. You take it, interpret it, and mm-hmm. execute it your way. You mm-hmm. know, you might not do wine labels in your kitchen, but you could very well do a collection of wine labels in a little butler's pantry, or you mm-hmm. can use your dad's baseball card collection that have been sitting in that closet for years and, you know, do... put them on your little boy's room, mm-hmm. or you yeah. can take your dad's, you know, albums, you know, and screw them into the wall. You know, it's a collection of things. So
my brother Paul, I think, wanted to do that with his baseball cards,
really?
But apparently I've been accused of giving them away
oh.
at a young, yeah, many years ago. So there's a little bone of contention with those cards. So don't bring that up when you're around my brother
okay,
Paul.
I okay, I won't. Paul, okay. Yeah, well, there's we'll so many. How many? There's four more of you?
I have oh, four brothers. Yeah, four brothers.
Luckily, I only have to work with one.
So five, actually.
Yeah. It's five boys. Poor mom.
Yeah.
Well, you Joyce.
You have broached the subject of some of the more I don't know if outrageous
alternative wall treatment.
Yes,
is what you
exactly.
Want to say?
So you know, and I'm sure you hear about this every single interview. So we'll just dispense with that. But you know,
no, bring it on, bring it on. We're here. Bring it on. No, I'd love to.
Well,
address the.
There is
questions.
A sense, I mean, I think among some viewers of the show that sometimes you may not be listening to the homeowners or maybe doing things that are kind of contrary to their wishes and possibly doing things that are a little outrageous.
Right. Let me ask this.
Good. It's our turn now. Okay.
What is your interpretation of the premise of trading spaces?
Well, I mean, I guess that we're really here to find out what your interpretation of it is.
Our interpretation is what the neighbors want to do in the homeowners whose home we're in,
sure.
house.
That's okay. The scenario is, for those of you who don't know it, trading spaces. Two sets of homeowners switch homes for 2 days and redecorate a room on a $1,000 budget with the aid of a designer. Now, the catch is, and Paige says this, you know, every opening, and she's doing it more, and I'm making sure to do it this time because it was dropped, that the homeowner has no say in what happens in their own home. Now, so that means, if you take that literally, which Hildy and I do, you know, the neighbors don't get together and say, well, you tell them to do this for me, and you tell them to do this for me, and then we'll both get what we want. No, that's not the ground rules of the show.
Sure.
You have no say. So what happens, though, generally, is that they do just try to say, you know, what the neighbors actually want, the homeowners want. So Hildy and I catch on to that, and we're like, well, you know, we're just going to do what we feel is best. You know, if you're not going to play by the rules, we'll make you play by the rules
sure.
our way. And so therefore, it's about the show is about suspense and jeopardy and voyeurism. You know, we as the viewers out there love to watch the show and look into other people's homes and their lives. That's what makes it interesting. The last 15 minutes of the show, when the reveal comes in, you know, you want people to sit on the edge of their seat to wonder, will they or will they not like that room? And if you just constantly, as some designers on the show might, just give pretty rooms consistently, well, there's no jeopardy in that. You know, if you get a room from X designer, possibly, that they're going to love the room. Well, who cares?
You can get that on your coffee table in a number of publications that have beautiful pictures of homes inside. That's not what this is.
This is about the unknown, and that's what Hildy and I want to bring.
It's thinking out of the box. And honestly, if the homeowners really knew what they wanted, then why are we there?
Right.
This is television.
I mean, this is television. It's entertainment. Okay,
right.
It's a different kind of decorating show. This isn't Martha Stewart. It's Martha Stewart on acid. Okay, it's something else. If you just want to turn on the TV and look at pretty rooms, well, then go to HGTV.
Right, but then we don't have children watching.
Yeah.
Then we don't have husbands watching.
Right.
Or boyfriends or fiancés or whatever.
That's what
grandmothers watching for pretty. You know, just this is about challenging the. You know, your mind and your
intellect,
your creativity. And there's so many people at home that are creative, but because their neighbor has a yellow living room, guess what? They're going to do yellow with a little shade of mustard in it.
Listen, okay. we're all own, you know, unique individuals with our own personal quirks. And I think that should be built into, you know, our homes and our interiors. We don't have to decorate like our neighbors.
Right.
I mean, would you go out and would you buy the same
car,
you know, car or the same clothes, you know, consistently? No, but that's with American decorating, you know, that's what people are doing. They're just buying what is put in front of them on the display in the store. Well, now with shows like Trading Spaces, we're able to show people you don't have to decorate with just what is seen in a display case in a major big box store.
Right.
You can use your own imagination.
Alternative
your own creativity.
Methods, and right. And we're hoping to influence and make a difference in people's homes where they live. Make it, don't be afraid to do it yourself and do it differently the way you like it, not the way you've seen it, yeah. The way you like it and possibly have seen it in our show because we've been there, we've done it. Let us influence you and learn from us.
And to show people that it's not that hard. You right. know what? If we can do this in 2 days, you know, you can do it. You know, you can do it
in a week.
In a week, you can do it on a few weekends. You know,
it's don't be afraid to dare and to do something different. Is what we're trying to
dive right in.
Right.
We've got a caller on line one from Champaign. Good morning, Champaign. Welcome to Focus 580.
Yeah. Good morning. My wife and I are big fans of the show and have been for over a year now. And the question I had is sort of related to your suspense idea: is how much preparation do you do ahead of time? And I understand not maybe wanting to do what the homeowner wants, but do you sort of learn what they absolutely could not tolerate? For example, I remember with Hildy's straw wall room that apparently there were a lot of allergies in the home, and that was not going to work. So do you do any kind of preparation to sort of know what to avoid and circumstances like that, or is it just pretty much wide open?
Okay, first, the straw room allergies that came out later, because when we got there, there was a dog cage, huge, in the living room. I don't know how many pets were in that house. So that allergy thing, I think, was made up later. There were no allergies there. I had allergies when I walked in. I think there was even a snake that lived in that living room. So
that was me.
No, but yes, we do get plans 2 weeks in advance. We get pictures. We get a videotape of what they like to see, what they would like to see in their home, what they would like to see in their neighbor's home, what they like, what they don't like, what they do in that room. And we take all that into consideration. But then again, we're there to do something different for them. We're not just going to, you know, they have a white wall. We're not just going to paint it light blue and throw a little throw on the living room. You know what? These people are open for change. Everyone's seen Trading Spaces. They know what
right.
we're capable of, or what the room could possibly change
into. Listen, these people just want to be on TV. Now, if you just want to be on TV, you've got to step into our world and understand, fine, we'll let you be on TV, but that comes at a price. That comes at a risk, not necessarily
Again,
at a price. It comes at a certain risk.
Right. We're not just going to put up, you know, paint the wall blue and put a little calico fabric over your sofa. You know, we're going to do something to inspire. We're artists. You're a blank canvas. You can't. You know, you can kind of tell me what colors you like, but I've got like 1,000 tubes of paint out there and a bunch of brushes and palettes and stuff. I'm going to create something in your room. I'm an artist.
Now, to answer the question, though, how much the preparation, we do get a production packet about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time with that information. And but that is very vague information sometimes. So often.
Well, I mentioned the tape, the video yeah. with what they want and they don't want, but ultimately we're coming in with our design plan because we only arrive, we have 3 days for the show, day 0, 1, and 2. We tape on 1 and 2. Day 0, we go see the home, we have to do the shopping. We don't have the opportunity to sit with the neighbors and discuss what they would like to do and then design our plan and then go out and look for the fabric and the wood and the paint and stuff. We do arrive with pretty much
the show ready to go.
Yeah. Exactly.
Our fabrics are purchased ahead of
time.
They
can influence, yes, we want this, no, we don't want that. And we do, you know, take those ideas into account sometimes.
But
it's our design. We're the designers.
The show is set up for conflict. They set us up for this, understand. You know, the way when we walk in there, we say, okay, well, what do you have in mind for this room? Well, when we ask that question, it's really unfair that we do ask the question because we have already purchased everything. So
right.
if they say we want to do this, then it's our job to then work with that and say, okay, well, I know you did, but I have this in mind, okay? Or you can just play it safe like maybe some of the other designers might and just do a safe room that nobody's ever going to question. Oh, that's pretty. That's nice. Oh, good. We'll sew this up.
Oh, this is fun.
Oh, what a nice job you're doing. We don't want that because that's not entertainment. Well, that's not television. That doesn't sell ads. Which
you would
not
be watching
revenue.
Us for that.
And
I would say the most interesting shows are when you know that wonder perhaps you two are doing a room and somebody can you know that they may hate it.
You want conflict.
They may love it.
And, you know, the irony is, at the end, when we're putting the room back together, usually my homeowners are like, oh, I can see now. Once everything gets together, unfortunately, the homeowner's point of view is everything on a piecemeal basis, delivery. And we're painting the room purple. Okay, we're doing this pink. And they're like, oh, my gosh, those colors look terrible. But when you start to see them come together on day two, they're like, oh, now we can see the picture. We're artistic and can visualize things. Most people can't. Plus, they're really only getting the delivery of things one at a time. Day two, they can usually see it coming together. And usually
sometimes,
by the end of the time,
you don't even know until like the last few things are put in the room that really change it. I think that's one of the interesting things about design is that sometimes until you get that last one item, maybe it's that last throw pillow in there, it can pull a whole room together. You're like, oh, it makes sense now.
Well, that's why it's the whole, you know, like on day one, people are going, oh, we don't like this, we don't like that. I'm like, you've got to trust me. You've got to wait to see the whole. A room is not a sofa, a painting, a throw, whatever. It's the combination of everything put together.
Yeah, I think it would say, I mean, we just built a house, so we're decorating stuff, but I think it was probably the one big thing we've learned is that you got to look at the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean,
it's
that's
a
portrait. Thing we've taken away from the show, other than the entertainment value, is that a color of paint doesn't just necessarily mean something. You have to look at the whole thing. So.
Right.
Well, glad you're in town. Enjoy the
Thank
show.
You. Thank you. We're very excited to be here for the charities we're doing.
Thanks for calling in. I want to remind folks the numbers to call in, 333-9455. And then, of course, outside the Champaign-Urbana area, you can use our toll-free line, 800-222-9455. A potentially worldwide audience for this program. I don't know if you knew that. We stream this program over the web, so it's available to pretty much everybody. I wanted to talk, I guess, well, we've been talking conflict, and I mean, I'm curious as a viewer, how much do the producers of the program encourage kind of that sort of behavior, the conflict?
I've got to say, this is the best job in the world because nobody has ever told me that I can't do something.
Mm-hmm.
I own every design that I put out there. I own that's come from me, mm-hmm. and that is such a rare opportunity in life to be able to have that sort of freedom. So the producers really don't encourage us to do rooms that are going to make people cry. That's not what it's about. You know, they of course love when that happens because the ratings go up, they go through the roof. But that
happens naturally.
Yeah, and it's so much better when it happens naturally. I mean, I've done some rooms that, you know, once it was done, I liked the room, but maybe it wasn't necessarily for the homeowner. And yes, they could have come in and cried and they would have been, you know, that would have been legit. But, you know, there the instance with the fireplace episode, what was so great about that episode was that it was a beautiful room. And yet, you know, she cried and walked out on it. And it came naturally. I didn't go for her. I didn't intend for her to cry. It's not like I created some room with, you know, I don't know, some crazy thing. Well, a Zen dining room, maybe. I might have cried over that. And I did one of those rooms. But there was nothing to cry about, and she did. That's what made that such a genius, you know, show.
Well, you can't stage an opinion.
No.
You know, opinion is something natural. You can't tell somebody what to think. You can't tell them what they think. It's just, when somebody walks into the room with Paige and she's holding, you know, open your eyes now, it's the first thing that comes out is, you know, what they think. Now, what they think is also, you have to realize, affected by what they've been doing for the past 2 days. You know, perhaps if I'm working with Doug's homeowners and he's working with mine and I've been painting, I've had them in this green and pink room for 2 days, and they walk over back home to Doug's, and Doug's is like gold and, you know, purple and black or something. It's a shock. It's mm-hmm. emotional. You know, they've been working hard. They've stayed up late. So you never know where that reaction really comes from. Do they like it? Do they not like it? Are they tired? Do they stay up late?
They're very
vulnerable.
There's
a lot of elements involved there.
They've
been away from home. Their kids are staying at granny's, or dogs are, you know, in the kennel or something, and all of a sudden they come back home, and it's, you know, it's a lot of excitement. Am I supposed to like it? Or do I not like it? Do I cry? Do I not cry? I don't want to be Pam, so I'm not going to cry. I'm going to say I like it.
Also,
you know, it's. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a homeowner going back to your home after you've had these troops of people in there for 2 days.
And you can understand that they have major television lights flooding their eyes. So their first
two cameras.
You know, yeah, two cameras, a bunch of people in there. Their first reaction, after you wait a couple seconds for their eyes to adjust, because the first reaction really is them just like adjusting to the lights. Then you start to see them look at the room, okay? So that's quite a shock.
Right.
The lights are very
stunning.
There's
so many sides and so many elements to this show. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you've got Paige holding on to you by your elbows. You know, you can't move because, you know, they can't leave the location. They can't walk around the room and touch and feel and things. So it must be quite a...
I would like to be a homeowner.
Yeah.
I would love to go through that. Not in my own home, though.
Yeah.
Well, now, you mentioned that, of course, that there's cameras and lights and all that that we don't see. I mean, there are other people in the background we don't see, too. I mean, the conceit of the show is we have the two designers and the one carpenter, but there are other people we don't
know yeah,
about.
We definitely have behind-the-scenes staff. You know, it takes about, I think we tried to total up earlier, 20 people to put the show together.
And that includes us.
And that includes the designers. And that's not a lot of people for a big program like this. Know that by the end of day two, they want us sitting down in a designer chat by 4 o'clock. Okay. Now, also understand that with any sort of production, you've got delays with maybe lighting, planes flying over, trains doing this and that, batteries going out. Carpentry World may have to get shut down for 2 hours because we're taping scenes, you know, just yards away, and we can't have somebody working at Carpentry World.
If the carpenter's in your scene.
If the carpenter's in your scene, because we do have a backup carpenter. So, you know, these delays, you know, add up to a lot of time. So we get behind-the-scene help only really to make up for the amount of time that we would have had if we actually did have 2 days, okay? So that there's no, you know, question about, we're not trying to hide anything. I mean,
it's in the book.
It's in the Trading Spaces Behind the Scenes book and everything else that's coming out. We don't hide that. I think at some point somebody tried to expose that as a big scoop. Trading Spaces has behind-the-scenes help, and it's like, well, you can read it in the book. You really didn't scoop this.
Well, and there are at least a couple of sewers too, right?
There's one.
One sewer.
One
okay.
sewer.
One
yeah.
sewer. Okay. So yeah, because I mean, we all that's a frequent thing, a sight on the program. Of course, is the homeowner sewing, you know, all those curtains and wall hangings and
well,
things,
some so. Do. I actually do. Sew a lot yeah. of my. I make all my slipcovers. Period.
I
really do. Mm-hmm. I make a lot of my things. And oftentimes we have homeowners, I mean, you know, people sew. We have homeowners. Yeah. They know how to sew. So oftentimes they'll make the pillows and things like that. It's hard to, you know, on somebody's living room floor to make a curtain, you know, make 7 panels of curtains 108 inches long. So that will get done in what we call Sewing World, which Sewing World is just 3 tables, what, 2 feet wide by 6 feet long, 3 tables put together. You know, yeah. and a sewing machine. It's in somebody's garage.
Crude,
that's our sewing world.
It works.
But
well, I've been asked a question off the air here. Somebody wanted to know how you do all of the painting and staining in the 2 days. How does everything dry?
Oh, that what you see is the first thing we do in the morning is the paint reveal.
Yeah, we try to get all the painting done as quick as possible so that it can dry.
After we've cleared the room, first thing is paint reveal. We start painting. Usually, if we have not put the second coat of paint on when it's necessary on the walls, that'll be done for homework. Yeah. And then usually we won't get our furniture till late in the day one, and then usually we'll let the homeowners paint it for homework.
I mean, and it's all latex-based. I mean,
right.
Very rarely do I do anything that is an oil-based process.
And we take that into account when we design furniture, and let's say we say we're going to paint it, and even though deep down in our hearts we really want to put the polyurethane on, and we might buy the polyurethane, we can never do it because if you don't do it the night before, it just doesn't cure. So we usually leave the can like, okay, you all do this, you know.
There are many times when we have to revamp our ideas because of
the time elements. Same mm-hmm. thing with flooring. There's a lot of fun things we'd like to do as far as tiling and flooring and concrete and this, but we can't do that many things on the floor because we've got to be in that room. And it's not just 3 of us in the room. It's our camera, our sound guy. So all those elements are taken into account by the designer and what we can actually plan that can be done in this short amount of time.
Designing a Trading Spaces room is a approach completely different than traditional design because you have to, you know, that you can only give a few carpentry projects to carpentry and a few sewing projects because the other house may have a heavy load as well. So when you design, you have to take into consideration how many projects you can get done, how many hours in the day obviously you have, how much money you're going to put to fabric, how much painting, and spread that out. Who has the ability to do all these things? Mm-hmm. Your homeowners, okay? You have to create projects that the homeowners can do solely on their own. What are you going to be able to do? Okay, so it's approached completely differently.
And I know in particular for Doug and myself, every project that we design or put in our design plan, I need to know how to do it. So if I say I'm going to change out my floor and put down tile or something, I need to know exactly how to do it, because I've got to tell them how to do it, and I have to do it,
mm-hmm.
period. So you'll notice some of the designs, some designs plans are more simple than others. Some are a little bit more complicated, simply because some of the designers have different talents than others. Like, you'll always see Doug has, not always, but sometimes he'll do one of his faux finishes on the walls, and that's his expertise, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Hildy can whip up a slipcover in 5 minutes. You know, I can't do that, so I'm going to design a different way.
So my rooms are usually heavy on fabric, because I know I can tackle it.
Yeah.
I know I can stay till late, and as my homework, do, you know, finish that slipcover or finish the curtains. Or if I have heavy sewing in my room, I'll usually give some, you know, let the sewer make the curtains, and then I'll do the two slipcovers, or I'll make, you know, whatever is excess.
And one, you know, we had talked about, you know, some of the time and money limitations here. One comment that occasionally comes up about the program is that because you only have the 2 days and $1,000, things are a bit rushed, or maybe, you know, using cheap wood on the furniture or things like that.
Well,
are there
yeah.
advantages to that? I mean, are there, you know, I mean, I know that there are obvious disadvantages to the.
Well, we're not building, you know, pieces that are going to be passed down to your grandchildren that are going to last 100 years. In these situations, we have $1,000. Somebody needs bookshelves? Yes. It's not going to be birch, you know, $50 a sheet of birch 3/4-inch plywood. It's going to be MDF. We can get it for $15. You want the entertainment center, or you want the piece to pass down to your children?
Yeah.
You know, you make a choice. This is 2 days, $1,000. You know, we're going to paint it.
Don't come on this show if you're expecting this to be the best quality, you know, that you've ever had.
Right. As far as the curtains, yes. My curtains are lined, but I didn't do my room for $1,000. You want curtains or you want lined curtains? If you want lined curtains, guess what? You're not going to get a slipcover. You know, it's budget, it's time.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there a lesson to be learned for viewers of the program from the limits that are placed on it?
I think there's a lot you can do to create a high impact look. You know, it may not be the best quality, it may not last forever, but you know what? It may just last for as long as you need it. You know, are you planning on keeping this room for you know, 4 or 5 years? Yeah, it's, you know, it'll be fine. 15, 20? No, you know, but by and large, people are moving, you know, these days within, you know, in that sort of time period.
Right. This isn't high, you know, high-end design. This is Trading Spaces. 2 days, $1,000.
The one thing that is great about working with this time frame is that as a creative individuals and, you know, an artist, we have to go with our gut feeling. All right, something happens and we have to change. You don't have time to sit there and analyze it and go about it. You go with your gut and you make the changes and you forge on. There's lots of designers out there who would never dream of doing this show because they're just so rigid in their ways. You know, they wouldn't be able to go by the seat of their pants. And that's what you really have to do on this show.
Yeah, everything doesn't have to be lined up in a row. You know, all the little ducks don't have to be in the water. Just, it's art. If you feel it, do it.
It's creating, you know, an atmosphere. That's how,
exactly.
how I approach it.
Well, now, recently, there was an episode where you were given, what, $50,000 a piece,
mm-hmm.
right, to do that. And so, you know, obviously, things are a little different when you have a little more money to play with.
I mean, I was fortunate enough to be on that episode, or unfortunate enough, because it was a big challenge. The challenge was, yes, I personally did have $50,000 to spend on, and it's not even a room, it's more than a room, kitchen, dining, and living area. It was about nearly three times the size of a normal Trading Spaces room, and it was a kitchen. So in order for me to make a gut impact, I did take it upon myself to gut the whole thing and really change it out, as opposed to just painting the cabinets and adding some high-end appliances. So I went to my friends at Home Depot, and we were able to ascertain kitchen cabinetry in a short order, and appliances. So I spent like $17,000 on kitchen cabinetry, about $7,000 on appliances, a pergo floor for $3,000, Corian countertops for, you know, $2,000. You know, it just starts to add up. But I did buy products that can last forever. You talk about the time element. We did put these in 2 days, but these are things that will have longevity. So I bought quality. I was fortunate enough.
Well, you can with $50,000.
Yeah. Yeah, you can buy the quality. And you know what? If you get some good qualified installers, you can install that in you know, 2 days. So in that regard, you know, it will work, and that house can be, you know, passed down.
There's a lot of programs on the air that, I mean, some of which, of course, have followed in the wake of Trading Spaces. And, you know, of course, nothing breeds other programs like a successful program. But there are a lot of shows on the air that have sort of a makeover theme. You've got the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Extreme Makeover and What Not to Wear and a lot of these kind of things that make over different things. I mean, what do you think accounts for that sudden interest in kind of reinvention?
Well, I mean, imitation is the best form of flattery, and you know, when you have a good idea, people, yes, are of course going to try to rip it off to capitalize on it. We have been fortunate enough in the cable industry to have broken every record possible for cable programming. We are the highest rated cable ad supported cable show, and we even with the networks CBS, NBC, ABC broadcast, we ascertain the women's demographic from 25 to 45. We beat out everyone. So of course, with that market, people are going to imitate us. Even our own network imitates us with our show What Not to Wear. Or not What Not to Wear, While You Are Out.
Mm-hmm.
So I honor that. You know, and good competition is going to bring more awareness to the marketplace. So I'm fine that people are imitating us, because then they compare, you know, the new shows to us. It gets us more exposure. And, you know, I think we are the best out there. We were first to market in a unique concept that people have not been able to do anything better with. It's Jeopardy. It's Risk. It's also the personalities on the show. You know, you want to tune in to see Hildy. You know what? You want to see what she's going to do.
No, you won't change the channel.
Yeah. Well,
because you don't know what I'm going to do or Doug's going to do or, you know, some of the others are going to do. And that's what makes the difference. And that's why I think we have so many viewers, because of the risk that we're taking. And you don't want to miss it. If you knew what you were going to get, if you know you're going to get another yellow room, or if you know you're going to get another sage room, then you know what? You're going to go watch football. We don't want you to watch football.
Yeah, my job is really to try to keep that male audience in. We have such a high you know, male audience. I'm going to find pictures of women in their drawers, in their panty drawers, and blow the picture up and put above the fireplace. You know what? That's going to keep.
My goal is to keep the male viewer also. But not with another woman's panties.
I'm going to do it a different way. You know, I'm going to cut apart a car and put a car in a room. You know, I'm going to do those things that aren't normal pillow tossing decorating. We're going to bring something else to the table. And that's what makes a show unique. I don't watch the other shows necessarily. I've seen a few glimpses of them. With the budgets that we're working with, you know, of course, some of these things have like very high budgets, $5,000.
Right. The new shows now have like $1,500, $5,000. And we're like, hey, we don't even have allowance for cola.
Yeah.
You know, there's no cost of living, you know, increase. And this is our fourth season.
Right.
And we're still at $1,000.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the budget will ever change. If this goes 10 years, I think they'll still keep it at 1,000.
Well, that's the challenge, and that's what makes us, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
Is that we can do this continuously, new designs, fresh designs, you know, different idea every time, mm-hmm. for within our constraints.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get old. You know, our ideas aren't like, you know, whittling down like, oh,
actually,
you know, she's,
I mean,
a has-been.
The thing about it is that we've, Hildy and I have done so many different things that, you know, they keep getting weirder and weirder.
We're only getting better.
Stay tuned. Better. Yeah, right.
So, yes, well, we've noticed those designs, but no, but seriously.
There's a lot coming.
Hildy has some great shows.
Done feathers on four walls. I covered a room in corrugated cardboard, made it a... You wanted me to call it the homeless box, but I don't name my rooms like you do. But Doug and I actually have a show on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's a premiere. It's the show that we did with Handy Andy from Changing Rooms. So they're promoting it as the British Invasion, and it's the premiere. We have yet not seen it.
No.
And it's supposedly a very funny show. I did an orange kitchen, and Doug did a black room.
A black living room.
I gave him permission.
And, of course, for those who don't know, Changing Rooms, of course, is the original series.
Yes. Yeah, yes. But, you know, they only film 15 shows a season. We do 60.
Yeah.
We're on every day. They're on, I think, once a week.
I mean, that's kind of typical for Britain, too. They just they do fewer shows for a lot of their programs. We have one call here, and we're going to try to get in. We only have a few minutes left. So line four from Mattoon, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted you to acknowledge that you, in fact, did copy Changing Rooms from Britain. What Not to Wear is copied from Britain. These are not original.
Oh, honey, are you attacking us? TLC bought the rights, and Changing
Basel
Rooms is our sister company. So we hide nothing, and your accusations are really, maybe you should do your homework, because that accusation is put in the wrong place, and I am just a hired hand on the show. So
okay, when he's asking you about copying, you acknowledge that other programs were copying you, and then afterwards you did acknowledge that the program was originally started in Britain.
Definitely. We bought Discovery Channel bought the rights from Basel Incorporated, who is in England, who did originate the show, as the same as they've sold the rights to a show in New Zealand.
Right.
They've sold the rights to four or five other countries that also produced the show.
Sure. Okay.
So what is your point here?
So it was developed from Changing Room. Yes, it was.
Right. Okay. That's all I wanted to make sure what came out.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it was.
And
what purpose does that
serve you?
And that's why they're like our sister, and we go there to do shows, and they come here to do shows. We went there last year and did a show in London, and this year we had two designers come here, and we had Handy Andy come and do two shows. And we're very proud of our relationship with our English counterparts.
Well, there are a lot of shows that have crossed the pond, as it were. I mean, all of those. Yeah, I know. I had to say cross the pond. But in any case, there's, we have Antiques Roadshow, and that was originally a British series. Well, there's a lot of them.
Actually, they just sold the rights to France. Channel 2 in France is also going to be doing the same Trading Spaces, but it'll be in French, of course.
Are you going to take part in that, Hildy?
Possibly.
Well, you've been living in Paris for how long now? Just a couple of years?
Over a year and a half.
Okay. Okay.
Almost 2 years.
Wow. Well, it's been great having you in the studio for the last hour. I'm a semi-regular viewer. I don't quite see it every week, but occasionally life gets in the way on Saturday nights.
Well, watch this Saturday night.
Yeah, this is going to be a good
Sunday.
Show.
And Sunday. Sunday's my newspaper room.
Sunday's your newspaper?
Yes, it's a family show. I did newspaper all over. I did it as a birthday present from one of my best friend's husband.
Was that a bathroom for the newspaper room?
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was a library.
Oh.
But we're very excited to be here in Champaign, and for my first visit.
Yeah, you're still looking for the Champaign, though, aren't you?
I am, but I'm very excited about the two benefits that we're doing here. I'm very excited about the animals, and I'm hoping we can make a difference for both the Humane Society and for Tyler.
Yeah.
And did you want to just quickly mention the Tyler event again?
Yeah, Tyler at Principe's Church tomorrow, 4:30 to 8 p.m., a chili supper. And Hildy and I will be out there signing autographs for donations. We have a special picture printed up for $10 donations. And we'll sit there and sign that. And, you know, there's some
entertainment. You might do a little show.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe I can get you to sing tomorrow.
Maybe I can sing tomorrow.
Okay.
But, that's tomorrow, Saturday. And of course, the fetching ball this evening. And from noon to 1:30 today, we're also signing autographs for the Humane Society over at the Hawthorne Suites Hotel.
There's a lot of puppies and cats and animals that need adoption, so we're hoping that we can make a difference this weekend.
I'm certain they will appreciate it. If they could talk, they would probably say thanks. And in any case, we say thanks to you for coming in this morning. And I know that things have been very busy and crazy for you these last few days, so it's great for you to take an hour out of your time to talk to us.